What happens when businesses make unlocking the power of their data an organizational and cultural imperative? Find out in The Data Agenda, a new podcast series from Wall Street Journal Custom Content and Amazon Web Services, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
This is Tech News Briefing from The Wall Street Journal. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. We're breaking with our usual format this week with a special three-part series on the impact of social media, and particularly TikTok. If you haven't heard yesterday's episode, you might want to go back and listen. We explained how quickly a TikTok feed can go from being filled with videos of viral dance crazes to a stream of potentially detrimental content about topics like eating disorders and self-harm. But it's not always clear-cut.
Some people actually did recovery videos, how much they eat in a day of recovery, and it was way less than I ate, and I was like, wait, that's crazy.
So how do you decipher the good from the bad? And who might you meet in the gray area? This is episode 2, Stuck Together.
Our modern lives depend on industry. From the steel and cement that build our cities to the electricity and fuel that power our world. Carbon capture and storage can remove more than 90% of CO2 emissions from essential industries like these. That's why ExxonMobil is deploying this technology, helping lower the carbon footprint of many everyday things. From the roads we drive on to the devices we rely on. It's one of the ways we're advancing climate solutions. Learn more at ExxonMobil.com/solutions.
Hanging out with family is not usually high up on a teenager's priority list, unless they're like 19-year-old Posse Friedman.
So I would say I'm probably more of like an antisocial freak, so. But I do like hanging out with friends sometimes. I love my family. I like having family time. I like just having alone time, you know, watching movies, doing such kinds of stuff.
Bossy has one older sister and 6 younger siblings, but she says she's really close to her mom.
My mom was my greatest support, and then COVID happened, and my mom was pregnant at the time.
Bossy says her mom would always wear a mask and sanitize her hands.
My mom was the last person that anybody would expect to get sick, but she did. She got COVID. Once her fever went up really high, we needed to take her into the emergency room because we were afraid it'll affect the baby.
The baby didn't survive, and Bossy's mom got sicker.
Her body went through a lot of trauma, so I think that made it even worse, and she was put onto a ventilator. She was in really critical condition and she had 2 strokes, one on each side.
Her mom lost the use of both legs and one arm from the strokes.
We didn't think she'll make it, but thank God she did and she survived and she's the biggest spider I know.
The situation put a lot of stress on Bossy, and she'd already been struggling with mental health challenges and depression for a long time. Bossy says when she was younger, she would hit and bite herself. By the time she was in 6th grade, she was cutting herself. When she was feeling anxious or depressed in the past, her mom would help.
She would just watch a movie with me, and she would keep me out of the hospital. And when COVID happened, you know, it was like all at once, and like my life changed just like that.
Bossy's mom survived COVID, but she couldn't come home for almost a year and a half. She was in the hospital, then a recovery center, then with friends who had a more handicap-accessible house. That left Bossy and her dad taking care of her 6 younger siblings.
Give me a second, my brother's here. I'm so sorry.
Without her mom around, Bossy was looking for somewhere else to get support. And she found it. On TikTok. Bossy downloaded TikTok in March 2020 and started watching and posting videos about mental health.
every time I wasn't doing well, I would do a video and then I would feel fine because I'd feel validated. I'd feel like I said what I have to say. And I had people come in telling me to stay strong and people were really supportive. So that's basically how I feel like TikTok connected with the thing that went on with my mom. I'm not sure if I would be so busy doing TikToks if I would have my mom's support at the time.
At first, Bossy says she really liked the support she got from strangers. But the more she watched and followed these accounts, the more dark content began to fill her personal For You feed. People not talking about feeling sad or depressed, but showing the dangerous ways they dealt with those feelings.
I've seen videos of people showing fresh cuts, even scars. It is hard for me to watch because my scars are faded and I want that weapon back. I want that certain validation on my wrist back.
Bossy would spend up to 7 hours a day watching videos with hashtags like anxious all the time, I'm depressed, and hashtag I need a mom. The videos and even the supportive comments she got couldn't fill the void or ease the stress created by her mom's absence. Her depression got worse. And during the summer of 2020, she attempted suicide. Twice. When she got out of the hospital, she says she wanted to turn a new page.
In the hospital, I realized that I really do want to recover from my siblings because my mom was not doing well and I knew they needed a strong source of support and I wanted to be there for them and I made the decision to stop self-harming.
But when she opened her TikTok app, the mental health content was still there. And then a different topic started appearing in the endless TikTok scroll. Posts of people bragging and swapping tips about consuming little to no calories in a day. Videos about eating disorders. Something Bossy says she had never struggled with before. TikTok says likes, follows, and search histories, as well as other information, informs which videos end up in a user's personalized feed. But a WSJ investigation used automated accounts to show that TikTok's algorithm zeroes in on a user's interests by relying on one main metric, how long they linger on a single video.
Anyone else depressed, but you're like, fine? Like, I'm fine.
And then it quickly led the For You feed to show an ever more limited and troubling set of topics.
Like, you don't have to worry about me. My anxiety's crippling, but I'm okay.
Mental health? Bad! Emotional health? Bad! Physical health? Bad!
Hey, are you feeling okay?
Oh, I'm fine.
I feel like I'm suffocating!
I love when old people are like, enjoy your life now, this is the best, like, part of your life. This is the best part? This is the best.
Do you want to know how to lose weight? Do you want to know my secret?
I have a hormone condition called PCOS, so it's actually really hard for me to lose weight. I also
tell me you have an eating disorder without telling me you have an eating disorder.
You want to know whether you have an eating disorder? Ask yourself one question. Did I stick around for the rest of this video?
It's easy to get tunnel vision.
Because if you did, you might just have some stuff you need to work through.
For Bossy, that meant thinking eating disorders were normal.
When I saw the TikTok videos, people said that they used it as a coping skill. And I'm like, wait, that kind of does make sense because, you know, you get to block out the way you're feeling by the feeling of hunger. And I decided to try it and, you know, I didn't want to be this sister that has cuts all over her. You know, I wanted to show my siblings that I'm there for them and nobody would realize if I wouldn't eat. So it did give me ideas.
She started restricting her diet a lot.
I'd say just maybe a cookie a day. I said, you know, if I'm not going to eat, my calories might as well be a cookie or chocolate. So might as well be good.
Social media platforms have been around for decades. So is there something different about TikTok beyond its powerful algorithm? Rachel Rogers is an associate professor of psychology at Northeastern University.
I have to say that the research related to TikTok is somewhat in its infancy. It's lagged behind the research on other highly visual platforms that rely more on static content, like Instagram or others. What we do know is that it's likely to be somewhat different because it's mainly video-based rather than static image-based, and because it seems to appeal to a slightly younger demographic. It's possible that the effects could be stronger due to the fact that videos may have a stronger emotional impact because, you know, they move, they are sensorially more appealing. And also, if young people are perceiving that this is content that is made by and relevant to their age group, perhaps more so than on other platforms, that could also make it seem more relevant to them and therefore more impactful.
Roger says it's easy to get a polarized view of the world when you're trapped at home and it seems like everyone you see is doing the same thing, like extreme dieting. But by that same token, social media can be a place to find people going through your same struggles.
There are people who describe having found support communities on social media or content that was different. The people who have positive relationships with their body and food may also represent a small proportion of the population, but they can also be found on social media.
Bossy could feel the app was bad for her. She even tried to delete it a bunch of times. But she kept coming back because the videos and the TikTokers offered emotional support. One even became a friend.
I got to know Perry because I used to watch her TikToks and comment on them all the time.
We met Perry Kornbluh in our last episode. She also joined TikTok during the pandemic. She says the app's algorithm quickly began to show her content about eating disorders and self-harm. She ended up starving herself and taking laxatives to lose more weight. Perry ultimately spent 6 months in treatment for an eating disorder without access to TikTok. But when she got out near the end of 2020, she logged back onto the app.
After I came home, although the first day was all nice and dandy, the second day I was already posting content. I remember posting a video that said something like me leaving residential and singing like, watch me mess this up, something like that. So I was already like spiraling.
And she started seeing the same limited range of content she had before treatment. By January of 2021, Perry was ready for a change. She wanted to have a positive impact on other users. So she started posting content about her recovery.
Perks to having anorexia. This is not a pro Anna video. This is pure satire. EDs are dangerous. Please get help. One, it sharpens your memory. You'll remember exactly what you ate on February 9th, 2018.
That's satirical, but recovery-focused content is how Bossy came across Perry.
Okay, so I think I just wanted to get to know her because you can't really know a person by just looking at TikTok. And I'm like, her TikToks are literally making me laugh. And I knew it was possible just because from where I was coming from and all that.
Bossy and Perry are both from the Orthodox Jewish community in Rockland County, New York. It's about an hour outside of New York City. Bossy started posting comments on Perry's videos. The two women followed each other's accounts and started direct messaging. They exchanged phone numbers, and eventually they met in person.
I remember once I didn't really have where to live, and I had to go to the shelter housing. And I was really scared and paranoid because it was in a neighborhood that I didn't really like. It was a little sketchy. And I tried reaching out to some friends to see if anyone would come and stay with me for a little bit.
So I had her phone number and I viewed her status on her WhatsApp. And she wrote something like, help, I'm dying.
And everybody was busy. And Bossy said, oh, I'll come.
I knew she was somewhere in the area. And I texted her. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, there's these mice, I'm dying. And I was like, okay, I don't know why, but I decided to just run over to her.
And I think that was the first time we actually met. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this going to be awkward?
And it was pouring outside and it was dark and cold.
She ended up coming over. She stayed for a few hours just to be with me. And the whole time she pretended that she wasn't afraid of mice because there were mice running around. And I was terrified.
And then I'm like, nope, I'm not an exterminator. I don't know how to take care of mice. And like, I'm terrified of these mice as well. But I knew I'm not going to take care of the mice before that. But I didn't know that I'll go there and like try to distract her. So we did like funny TikToks. And I think I did manage to distract her.
I felt like it was easier to connect to Perry than it is to connect with, like, my in-person friends. Just because, like, Perry understands a lot to some extent.
That's Beth Hartman, who we also met in our last episode. Like Bossy, the first video of Perry's that Beth remembers seeing was a funny one. Dark humor, about prank calling a psych ward.
I first commented on one of her videos, oh, I love this, this is really great. And then I started watching more of her videos and saw that, like, I related to her a lot.
During the summer of 2020, Beth's parents enrolled her in a program for an eating disorder, something she says was made worse by seeing videos on TikTok. Beth was already thin before, but in 2 months she lost 20 pounds and was doing extreme amounts of exercise. The combination led her to bruise easily and routinely pass out. After 6 months in residential treatment, Beth came home. She was still too weak to return to the sport she once loved, but she did log back onto TikTok, something she hadn't been able to do while in care. Beth kept commenting on Perry's posts and her streams, but she wasn't engaging much with the world outside of TikTok.
I was just always away from my family and my friends, just always staying in my room, not wanting to go out in the world.
Eventually, she reached out to Perry for help.
I said, could you, like, do a video of, like, yelling at me to, like, stop isolating? Because she had other videos, like, where she was, like, yelling at them. And it was like, hey, I know you haven't ate today. I need you to get up and eat something, kind of like as, like, a, like, being, like, your mom in a way, but, like, being, like, a funnier version of it.
Perry never ended up making that video. But they did exchange numbers, and now they send each other funny videos and encouragement off of TikTok. But even though they found support in one another on TikTok, being on the platform still meant being exposed to the content that made them feel bad in the first place. And the community could sometimes feel competitive. Perry says it's easy to see how people posting recovery content on TikTok can inadvertently step into this competition.
A lot of people post the before and after pictures, focusing a lot on how their body has changed. And although maybe a small percentage of people with eating disorders can find it, you know, inspiring and like, oh, wow, look at that, a lot of people find it triggering. Because first, there's the aspect of like, oh my gosh, I miss that body. Or there's the aspect of, I was never that sick. So it can be invalidating for people.
Bossy says when she would post videos about her recovery process, she would sometimes get negative feedback about how she hadn't struggled enough. And she'd see similar remarks in the captions and comment sections of other people's videos.
The thing on TikTok is that the only way you're valid is if you engage in unsafe behaviors. Otherwise, you're not valid. Your mental illness is fake. You're faking it. You're attention seeking. The only way you're a fighter is if you cut yourself, which is so not true because for me, not self-harming is such a fight every single day.
And it's possible to inadvertently add to the barrage of harmful content on the platform. Beth says she wanted to educate people about the dangers of self-harm in one of her videos.
I did different, like, forms of self-harm, but I made it, like, where I was doing, like, clearly nothing, like, where I had, like, an invisible blade, and I was, like, cutting, like, my arms invisibly. And I did, like, one where I would tap on my head, but it would not go hard at all. Like, it didn't even hurt at any extent. And, like, people kept telling me that, oh, it's triggering, it's triggering.
TikTok has rules against posting content that specifically support eating disorders or self-harm. But there are gray areas.
For a lot of these platforms, they do some initial filtering to look for words or, you know, other cues to assist with the human moderation process. But then those filtering criteria that they have in place are probably pretty simplistic.
Professor Munmun Chowdhury from Georgia Tech studies the impact of technology and social media on people's well-being. She says social media's automated moderation systems aren't equipped to sort the good from the bad in recovery content.
There is a lot of subtlety in what is recovery, what is, you know, pro-eating disorder, what is pro-self-harm type of content. I mean, it can be challenging even for an expert to cleanly kind of isolate by just looking at a video or a post from someone that is the person only talking about recovery or talking about something else as well.
Remember, there are billions of videos uploaded to TikTok. The company has thousands of moderators and algorithmic tools to spot and remove harmful videos that violate its policies. But they don't get everything. And there are people who intentionally try to get around the rules. Reporter Rob Barry is part of the Wall Street Journal team that investigated how TikTok's algorithm works.
So TikTok bans certain hashtags, doesn't allow them to appear in their search engine. So for instance, one of those is pro-Anna, which means pro-anorexia. There's a number of others like that. One in particular, Thinspiration, is one that appears a lot, Thinspo. So we found hundreds of different spellings of these hashtags that were being used by users, and they would be introducing all sorts of different types of characters, numbers, everything to try and would appear to be get around TikTok's bans on those hashtags.
The company says it's constantly trying to update its moderation system. Tara Wadhwa is TikTok's policy director for U.S. Trust and Safety.
We recognize how challenging it is to be going through something as difficult as body image and eating disorder challenges. We're always looking to iterate and continue to improve our policies to best meet what our users are facing. Again, there's no finish line when it comes to safety, but we're committed and passionate about this area and the overall safety and health of our community writ large.
Perry feels TikTok doesn't do enough. She claims when she's reported videos she thinks promote eating disorders or self-harm, TikTok sometimes has told her those videos don't actually violate its policies, and they stay up. Other users have reported this too. We asked TikTok's Tara Wadhwa about this.
We've worked in consultations with professionals in the field, our in-house policy experts, and our community to develop the strict policy that would remove content, and also understand that we can't take a blanket approach to this. So we are looking to make sure that we're striking the balance between taking content off and providing support and community. But as you allude to, everyone's comfort with this type of content may vary and be different.
For her own videos, Perry says she makes a real effort to avoid upsetting people.
I feel like it's a very big responsibility, and a lot of times I post videos with my friends and they'll give me suggestions and I'll have to be like, hey, that's really funny. But I also know that it's too explicit, meaning like it's too triggering, or we have to remove some of the specifics of the behaviors. I mess up sometimes, and usually if somebody will comment, I'll review it and see if it is, you know, something that's triggering, and then I'll obviously remove the video.
On TikTok, users can get trapped in a cycle, posting negative content to receive positive feedback, getting flooded with harmful content when they're working towards recovery, and even inadvertently hurting people they're trying to help. So how can this cycle be broken? Is it just up to individual users? Or can parents, lawmakers, and even TikTok itself do something to help? That's coming tomorrow. If you or someone you know is in crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. Trained specialists are available 24/7. And for help with eating disorders, call the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders free helpline at 1-888-375-7767. This episode of Tech News Briefing was written and reported by myself, producer Julie Chang, and WSJ Tech reporter Yori Ko. We had production and data support from WSJ reporter Rob Barry and producers Caitlin Nicholas and Amanda Llewellyn. Sarah Gibolaska is our sound designer. The show was edited by Deputy Editor of Investigations Christopher Stewart, Supervising Producer Chris Zinsley, and Executive Producer Kateri Yoakum. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.